Is that better?
Yes.
If you unmute it, it actually works. My joke wasn't as good as Dan's? I might be from Norway. Okay, really, I'm from South Stites. I did talk to somebody this week, and they're like, well, where'd you come from? How long have you lived here? And I'm like, well, I started on Rock Road about a quarter mile down the hill, and then we moved to South Stites. And they looked at me like I was foreign, because I'm from here. That's not part of the message. Just trying to get my head wrapped around Dan's story now. For those of you who pay attention, and this is going to bug, I don't want it to bug you my whole message. I told you where I was going this week, and God rerouted me this week. So whatever I told you last week we were talking about today, if you don't remember, I'm not going to tell you so you don't think about it all service and forget about what I'm really talking about. God's good, isn't he? He gives us chance and opportunity if we'll sit and listen, if we'll pay attention. He's always speaking to us. He's always moving and shifting. But are we moving and shifting and keeping pace with him? And are we willing to put our agenda on hold? For me, it was the message I had planned for today. So I thought, be an easy week. I already have the message. No problem. And then God says, no, I want you to build another one. So here we are. So just keep pace with God. Keep moving. Keep listening. Keep asking, God, what are you up to today? God, where are we going this week? What's happening? What's going on? Who do you want me to minister to speak to? Maybe just go and sit with and be in the presence of. And there's a lot that God is asking us to do, and I believe we miss the mark often because we're not paying attention and we're busy about our own agenda. So pay attention. Signs and times. We're on number 4 this week. Signs and times. God has sent us a bunch of signs and wonders. Have they been happening in all of creation? You think back to Noah and God painted the sky with a beautiful rainbow. Said, this is my promise for you to remember that I'm a faithful, loving, and just God. And I will never do this to the earth again. And then we look, you know, the stars, the moon, the sun. They give the signs of the seasons, the signs and times of day and daylight and darkness. And they tell us different things like that. Like, some of you were an hour early this morning because you didn't set your clock back. Some of you will be an hour late come spring because you didn't set your clock ahead. But God's given us signs all around us. Are we paying attention and reading the signs that he's given us? I've titled number 4, Wait, Be Patient, Persevere. Things that we all love to hear. Not really. Most of us are of this industrial microwave generation, and we want it now. We want it yesterday. When did you want that finisher? Yesterday? How about 10 minutes ago? How about, do we hear those phrases often? Yeah. But the Lord is saying, wait, be patient, and persevere. And we've talked over the last few weeks of many of the signs of the times, of the end of time. The end of time being the messianic era from Jesus' resurrection, ascending back to heaven, until he returns again for his church. Not as in tomorrow Jesus, I mean, he could come back, but it's the end of time. It's the era, the messianic era that we are living in. Since Jesus went back to heaven, we look onward to his return for his bride, the church. That's us, believers in Christ Jesus. So we're living in this end of time, and signs have been all around us, and they've been happening since Jesus left. Some of them, not all of them yet, have been fulfilled, but most of have been fulfilled. And if you listen to the YWAM crew, if you're here early enough to watch that video, of their goal is to take the gospel to every nation and every tongue and every individual on planet Earth. That's their mission. That's what they do. They go to countries that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the signs of the end of time or Jesus' return is that the entire world will have opportunity to hear the gospel and know about Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And now with technology and modern transport, it's becoming ever so close that this could happen. And they're translating the word of God into all kinds of languages, everyone they can get their hands on. But what does that mean for us, believers in Christ Jesus? We see the signs. What do you do when you see a sign? Pay attention. Speed limit sign, 35, coming into town, and now they have those nice flashing signs that remind you, too fast! I've never seen that one. Okay, I lied. I always see that, and by the time I get there, it says thank you. So, I do slow down. I just don't slow down in time for their little radar. And by the time I get there, it usually says thank you for going the appropriate speed. What do you do with signs in your life? Oh, the roof's leaking again. That's a sign something's wrong. Do we repair it? Or do we get a bucket? What do you do? What do you do in your life when signs say something is wrong, something is out of whack, something is not operating as God intended it for you? Do you just get a bucket to catch the drip? Or do you get up on the roof and see what's going on and actually repair it? Do you take care of the problem clear to the core root of what's going on? I was doing a sports show probably 15 years ago down in Dallas, Texas. It might have been longer than that. Cell phones weren't a thing yet, so it was a while ago. And it was like we were navigating Dallas with the original TomTom, like the first GPS navigation device. So it was first trip with it. Me and the guy I was with, we were trying to learn how to use this thing driving around Dallas, Texas. Of course, we're from small town Idaho. It was wonderful. I'm like, well, where'd you book the room? He's like, it was a Holiday Inn Express. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, do you have the address? He goes, no. I'm like, how are we going to find it? He goes, there can't be that many. Maybe not in Kamei, Idaho, but Dallas, Texas has like 150 of them. So we punch it into the TomTom, Holiday Inn Express, and it comes up with pages and pages of Holiday Inn Express. And I'm like, well, where's the convention center at? Do you have that address? He goes, yeah. I'm like, well, I would assume you picked one close to the convention center. Let's start there. So we find the closest one to the convention center. We go there. Do you have guests with our names? No, we don't. It's like, well, is there any way to narrow this down? Finally, he gets a hold of somebody back in the office, finds the address to where he booked it. It's like an hour and 20 minutes from the convention center. And like the entrance to this place, literally we went across the tracks. And it's like a gated compound. There's a big wall with barbed wire and glass shards on top. There's a big iron gate that closes and opens for you. All the doors and windows are barred. Like you have to open the barred door to get in the regular door. And when you get in the regular door, the door jamb's been kicked in at least a dozen times. And it's like duct taped and glued back together with splinters everywhere. It was something else. I'm like, I don't know about this place, man. He's like, oh, it'll be fine. It's a Holiday Inn Express. I mean, there's nothing about this saying holiday. Or express, maybe in bad shape, in the wrong part of town. So I was like, I don't know, we'll check the room out. So we checked the room out, and I'm like, yeah. Like, I don't mind sleeping under a tree in the woods, but I have standards. This room is below my standard of living. I'm like, man, I'm not sleeping in that bed. I go to check out the bathroom, and the tub has a 3-foot crack in the bottom of it that has been siliconed and looks like a chia pet. I'm like, we're not staying here. I'm out. So we go to the manager's office. We talk to him. You're like, by the way, I thought this was a Holiday Inn Express, and he is insistent that it is. And we're like, what? It's like, this is not a Holiday Inn Express. I mean, I'm from small town Idaho, but I've been around a bit. Finally, he goes, no, Holiday Inn Express, see sign. He's printed out on 11 by 8.5 sheet of paper, Holiday Inn Express. Has it duct taped to the wall behind the desk. Just because you see the sign doesn't mean it is what it said it was. There are signs all around us. Don't be misled by the wrong signs. For those of you that need to know, we went and booked a different room 5 minutes from the convention center. And it was a wonderful week. Watch the signs you're following. Don't be misled. Don't misinterpret what you think you saw was a sign. In Matthew chapter 24, we're going to look at some of these signs to take place. Matthew 24, verses 15 through 21. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. This sounds awful. Sounds awful. That's some crazy signs. When we talk about the sign of the abomination taking place in the holy place that leads to desolation. The abomination was idolatry, basically, wickedness, evil taking place. And there was the city of Jerusalem in the temple, which was supposed to be a holy place. But if we expand a little further on that, look at the church of the world. What abominations are taking place within the church? What idolatry is taking place in the church? And if we go even one step further, Jesus in the New Testament calls us the temple of the Holy Ghost, the holy place, or what we are supposed to be, the holy place, the house of the Holy Spirit who resides within us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What idolatry are we giving into in our lives? What abominations are we causing or creating within our own lives? If you look across the church abroad, Big C Church, there have been some awful things happening to some very influential and public figure Christians that I believe this passage is talking about. When the evil of the world, the sin of Satan, infiltrates the church and defiles it, the holy place of God, the signs are around us. What do we do with that? We're going to get into that in a moment. It goes on in that passage, flee from evil, leave everything if you must. There's nothing of this earth that is of value compared to your salvation and doing what is right before God. Leave it all, it says. Run from it all. Don't get caught up in the wickedness, in the evil, in the idolatry. It says, don't even go down into the house and take anything. Just flee. And I believe it's saying, flee from evil. Do what is right in God's sight. The great distress that will come will be unequaled. That's kind of scary and frightening. Like, I've had some pretty bad days or even weeks in my life, sometimes months maybe. But man, for that to go on and on, In Ephesians chapter 5, we get a little instruction from the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 8 and 10 for starters. This whole passage, starting halfway in chapter 4, is instruction for Christian living. So if you want to do some homework, you could go read this whole passage. Chapter 5 in Ephesians, verses 8 through 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. So it says, yeah, we were once in the dark. We once lived in darkness. But now that we've chosen Christ, it says, go and be fruitful. Go and produce goodness and righteousness. Go and do the will of the Lord, which pleases him. He invites us, instructs us to go and do this. Live as children of light. What do you do in the days of great disaster and distress? Live as children of light. Breathe the light in the darkness. Sometimes we add to the darkness. We join in with the darkness. The Word of God says don't, as we read on. 11 through 13. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Avoid fruitlessness. As we look at our lives, what fruit are we producing? It's the end of the quarter for our youngest daughter, so we went over to parent-teacher conference this Thursday. And I love to hear from the teachers. It's amazing to have your daughter in my class. She is a wonderful student. She's a leader. And it goes to show that she comes from a good tree or good stock or good parenting. Or your children are part of your fruit. What are you producing? Your words, your actions are part of your fruit. What are you delivering when you go about your week? The Word of God instructs us to produce fruit. Not only don't produce bad fruit, don't produce no fruit, but produce good fruit. It's what we're called to do. What fruit are you producing in your spiritual life? Verse 14. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. God's calling us to wake up and pay attention. Yeah, the signs are there. They're obvious. They're evident. We can see them. But what do we do with them? It should cause us to wake up and produce the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of goodness, the fruit that is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 15 through 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, all kinds of evil. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what should we be doing? We should be wise. We should be making the most of every opportunity. We should be giving thanks constantly for the goodness of God. But instead, sometimes we find ourselves grumbling and complaining about the evils of this world and the evils that are just signs of the time. Don't get caught up in that. Give thanks. Find out what God's will is, what pleases him. He just talked about that. Goodness, righteousness, doing what pleases him. Back into Matthew 24. Picking back up at verse 22 through 25. Remember, we just finished with the distress of the world will be unlike any time ever before or yet to come. Verse 22. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So Jesus warns us. These are all red letters here. Jesus speaking to the church. He warns us of deception coming. He warns us of the motel across the tracks with the printed out sign that says Holiday Inn Express. He says, there will be some that pose in my name, some that even pose and do some signs and wonders and miracles in my name, but they are not of me. You will know them by their fruit. What are they producing? Our job in this time is to survive, to endure, to wait, to be patient, to persevere. Don't be deceived. But Jesus gives us this warning. What do you do with warnings? Ignore them? Sometimes we ignore them. Beware of dog. I think I'll go knock on that door. Or do you beware of the dog? Caution light flashing. What do you do? Jesus has given us some warnings. Pay attention. Notice he doesn't say be fearful, be scared, be afraid, be very afraid. No, he says be aware, pay attention. Verse 26, so if anyone tells you, there he is out in the wilderness, do not go out, or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Don't follow false words. Pay attention to the voices you're allowing to speak into your life. Don't listen to the false words. 27, for as lightning comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the gate. Or maybe it'll be in 29. But we're going to read 28 first. Wherever there is a carcass, there are vultures will gather. Wherever there is a carcass, there vultures will gather. Don't let faith die in your life. Don't let hope die in your life. And give the vultures of fear and doubt something to feed on. Keep faith alive. Keep hope alive. Yes, there will be some bad times maybe. There will be some awful times. But we're supposed to remain faithful and hopeful in who we trust, in who we believe. The Lord God Almighty. He is true and faithful. Verse 29 through 31. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. This is talking about the signs that will take place. Did the sun come out today? I mean, it's behind the clouds, but it's still producing light. Are the stars still shining at night? Is the moon still rising? The end isn't here yet. So what do we need to do? We need to wait, be patient, persevere. Things we don't like to do. But wait, be patient, and persevere. Because the coming is near. We'll see the clouds. We will hear the trumpet. It will be obvious when Jesus returns. You're not going to wonder, did it happen? Did I miss it? But you're going to see it. You're going to know. It's going to be obvious as we read on. Verse 32. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The signs will be as clear as a tree putting on new buds, new leaves, new fruit. If somebody tells me, oh, look, the apples are ready in the middle of January, I'm not even going to go look at the tree. Because I know in Idaho, apples don't grow in January unless you have an indoor greenhouse of some sort. It says the signs will be this obvious. The evidence will be that plain for us to see. Just like knowing spring is here because the buds begin to bloom and bud out. So don't stress out about, is it the last day? Don't be in fear and doubt. Is it going to be tomorrow? But do what we're called to do in the meantime. Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and his great love and salvation for the world. Tell others the good news of his great salvation. Keep the faith. Keep hope alive. That's what we're called to do as believers in Christ Jesus. Don't get distracted. The signs will be clear. The last part of verse 35, God's word remains. Put faith in him. He says, it's all going to pass away, but my word is still true. My word is still faithful. What do you put your faith in? Is it your bank account? Your house because you have flood insurance? Fire insurance? Is it your friends, your family, your neighbors? Is it your church family? Is it your political party affiliation? Is it in the president? Is it in your job and its 401k? Its benefit package? All that's going to pass away. The word of God says it's all meaningless. It all passes away. But my word, the word of God, remains. Put your trust in him. His word is faithful. His word is true. And when all else fails, he still remains. He's still good. So be patient. Wait. Persevere. Why are you doing that? Remember that every one of us are a minister of the gospel of peace. Every one of us should be bringing the peace that only the Holy Spirit could offer when we go and we engage in different situations and circumstances. What do you bring to the table? Is it goodness and righteousness? Is it the will of God? Or do you bring dissension? Do you bring tension? Do you bring gossip and slander? Do you bring bitterness? What are you bringing to the table? God invites us into ministry with him. He invites us to be partners with him to carry his word throughout the earth. Are we partnering with what he's called us to? Or are we so caught up on the signs and the times? It says, yeah, they're there for a reason. They're there so you know. But don't get hung up on those. Be about the Father's business. Be in the waiting and okay with the waiting. Be patient because it's going to happen in his time and not our own. And persevere, even when things get tough, when things get hard. Continue pushing on. Continue pushing forward. I was guiding this lion hunt several years ago, many years ago now. And we were hiking up this mountain and up this mountain and up this mountain. And I knew at the top, or not the very top, but way up this mountain, there's usually a crossing. There's two trees, lions, for whatever reason, cross right between them. And my guest is getting weary and he's getting tired, and how much further? And of course, guiding, you don't tell them immediately how far they really have to go. You say, just a little ways, just a little ways. After a while, they catch on and realize a little ways means miles and lots of elevation gain. But he's like, man, I'm tired. And I'm like, finally, like, if you could just hold on a little longer, like there's a really good crossing up here. And it's possible that there will be a fresh mountain lion track there between these two trees, because I've run dozens of cats from those two trees. But it's a pretty good hike to get there. So he's finally like, I'm done. I'm like, well, can I build you a fire and you can stay here? And I'll go up and check. So I built him a fire, got him cozy, got him a snack. Sometimes we just need a nap and a snack while we're persevering. You know that, right? Sometimes that's all we need. Devil's not after us. We just need a nap and a snack. So I got him comfortable, got him cozy, got a fire going, got him some firewood gathered up, and I hiked on up the mountain, and sure enough, I get to the trees, and there's a big lion track. So I turn the dogs loose. They take off. They're in pursuit. I hike back down to him, and now he's got revived energy. Adrenaline is coursing through his veins. He's ready to go. He's got warm. He got a snack. He got a little nap in. He's ready to go. When we're persevering, we've got to be aware enough that sometimes we just need to take a break. Sometimes we need to refresh ourselves in the Lord. Sometimes we need to sit and sharpen iron against iron and strengthen and encourage ourselves with a brother or sister in the Lord so that we can get revived to continue pushing on. Or we get burnout and we push beyond that and we start cramping and we get physically unable to go any further. But because he was able to take his break, he was able to carry on. And luckily, the dogs did a big loop and ran the mountain lion down below us and tree just off the ridge we had just come up. So it was like going back to the truck to see the mountain lion. It was amazing. It was wonderful. But man, we've got to persevere and do it well. We've got to know when we need to stop, when we need a break, when we need a nap, when we need a snack, and then be willing to get back out and go again. So as you think about it this week, I know we're in a big week. It's election week. But don't let the elephants and donkeys make you forget that you're a sheep of the Most High Shepherd. His name is Jesus. Because no matter what happens this week, Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is still in control. He tells us in his word, I put those in authority and in position that I choose. So we can trust that. His word never fails us. We might not get the result I want. I'm not in charge. I'm not in control. But I know who is, and I serve the King who is in control. So regardless of what happens, be patient. Wait. And persevere through whatever comes at us. Because our God's still good. There's still people around us that need to know about his great love. About his gift of salvation that's been given to them. That they maybe haven't opened yet. That's what we're really to be about, the Father's business. No matter what the world throws at us, persevere and endure, that his name may be known as great, that the lost may be found, that his love may be extended through our words, our deeds, and our actions, wherever we go. Amen. Amen. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll do the final announcements. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your love and grace. Father, we thank you for, God, your mercy. We thank you so much that you are so kind and loving. And God, I just ask that you would use us this week. God, that we would recognize the signs. God, that we would act accordingly, according to your word, to do that which pleases you. God, that we would act in all godliness and righteousness. God, in our conversations, God, in our hobbies, in our places of recreation, God, in our actions, God, in our deeds, that they would be for your glory. God, that we would lift you up and honor you in all that we do. Father, we give you praise and honor and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.